League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Majid Shafiq, CEO, and Graham Heath, CFO of i3 Energy. i3E is ticker there, guys. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Justin.
How are you?
Yeah, good. And it is nice to speak to you because you've got an operational and financial update. We haven't spoken for a while, but lots going on, lots changed, and you're progressing, significantly by the looks of the production there. So before we get into that, guys, just for people maybe not familiar who haven't heard you for a while, just explain, could you, what i3 Energy is about, please?
Yeah, Justin, so i3 Energy is an oil and gas company. We're listed in London and in Canada. We have assets in the UK and in Canada, production assets in Canada that we will be talking about, and an appraisal asset offshore in the North Sea in the UK that we're looking to move forward towards appraisal and ultimately development.
Yeah, absolutely marvellous stuff. Okay, so the update, lots in there. Let's start off with the production. You've announced production for the quarter of 8,856 barrels of oil per day. How do you see that developing this year?
Yeah, well hopefully we see it developing positively. But, you know, if we look at our asset base that we acquired from Gain in Toscana, we were expecting, if you look at the competent persons reports that were generated for the RTO purpose, they had predicted declines in their and our production is producing much better than that. So on average, you know, we would have expected around about a 13% decline per annum, and the fields look like they're declining at less than around about half that. So the production's holding up really well. The assets that we've acquired are really good assets, and the guys in Canada are doing a really good job of maintaining that production, so a spectacular job really on top of it. So we're really pleased with the asset base. We would expect, you know, if the assets were to decline at the rates projected by the competent person, we'd be shy of 8,000 by the end of this year. If they continue to perform as they currently are, should be around about 8,500 BOE per day by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So our expectation is that the assets will continue to perform better than expected. But we have a number of catalysts in the portfolio, one of which I've mentioned in an RNS, which is the Knoll well, excuse me, which should be on stream in June at around about 500 BOE per day. It's a gas well. And there are a number of other opportunities as well in the portfolio that we've now started to look at in detail. So, you know, older fields where perhaps the reservoir management hasn't been as good as it should have been. And, you know, the assets in Canada are operated slightly differently to the way that they are in the UK. There's just so many drilling opportunities that they just tend to get drilled up in a certain manner. Whereas in the North Sea, for example, we can't drill as many wells, so reservoir management's a lot more important. And what we're finding with the portfolio there is that there are opportunities to increase production from the existing portfolio, and we're hopefully, you know, we're looking at a number of different projects of that nature, which we're hoping we will be able to execute on over the next, you know, 6 to 12 months to increase production from the current portfolio. In addition, you know, we announced a farm in the Clearwater play in the RNS earlier this week, and preparations have started to start drilling according to that farming agreement. And we're planning, we have to drill two wells by November, another four wells by March, and then we have a potential to drill another three wells, so a total of nine. And what we're focusing on a particular area initially in the Martin Hills area in the Clearwater, which is a development play essentially. So these wells can be drilled and tied in and put onto production within a month. That work's already started. We're assuming each well will have an initial rate of around about 150 barrels per day. That's our kind of middle expectation. Although, there are a number of wells that have been brought on by competitors in the area at significantly higher rates than that, but we're putting out conservative assumptions on that. So there's two wells that will be drilled before November and will actually be drilled within the next couple of months, and they should come on, as we say, around about 150 barrels a day each. We have 50% of those, so our gross will be 150 if they come on at that rate. In terms of where we will be towards the end of the year, I'm hoping that we'll be, around about where we are at the moment, and possibly better than that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just going through that, you talk about the clear water there, lots of activity there and that play. And, for people in London like myself here, not familiar with it, just why is that an area to focus on then, Majid?
Yeah, so the Clearwater play is the best play onshore Canada at the moment, and it's a relatively new play. It's been developed from about 2016 was when the first wells were drilled, but since that point, over 400 wells have been drilled in the play, and it's producing in excess of 30,000 barrels a day in total. The reason it's so good is that it's, firstly, it's got good poroperm characteristics, so the rock is good, which means it doesn't need to be fracked. You know, we hear a lot about onshore Canada and the US with the new plays, both tight gas and shale that have to be fracked, with many fracks in horizontal sections, and those wells are relatively expensive and they decline very quickly. We don't need to do that here in the Clearwater because the reservoir quality is good. They're also at relatively shallow depths, so they can be developed with horizontal multilateral wells at relatively low cost. You know, they're around about $1 million each to drill, complete, and tie in, and all of that work can be done within 30 days, so they can be brought on very quickly. And it's 100% oil. So all of that means that, the economics for those projects are really good, and they tend to be, if you have those wells in your portfolio, they tend to be right at the top. So, we're very lucky in that the company that we acquired, Toscana, had built up a really large position in the Martin Creek area of the Clearwater play. And, it's in total, we have about 150 kilometers squared there. The issue with that acreage is that it's in an area where the government's trying to protect the caribou. So we're not allowed to work there from February to July. We're not allowed to access it. In addition to that, it's very boggy conditions, so we only have access in the winter. But the positive about that acreage for us is that we have it's been developed for gas production. So there are 150 wells that have been drilled. So there's surface locations. Around 150 surface locations and gas pipelines connecting all of those and going into a gas plant. The gas production facilities, they were discovering that they were finding oil in the separators and in some of the tanks and the slug catchers. So clearly there was oil coming up with the gas. So there was a strong suspicion that this acreage had oil in the Clearwater play that had been developed elsewhere in that area. So we went in the first quarter into three wells and recompleted these wells in the oil zones and found oil in two of the wells as we'd expected there to be, which gives us strong confidence that we're going to have oil across the play in the Clearwater. So what we'll be doing is when we get back into winter conditions again and can access the acreage late this winter and early next year, we're going to go back in and look at a drilling program to start development of that, fairly large portfolio that we've got there. But what we wanted to do was to grow our position across the Clearwater, outside our existing areas, and also to acquire some areas that already have roads built and so have all year round access. And so that's the reason that we farmed in and did this deal. It's given us another around about 30 kilometers squared, or access to around about 30 kilometers squared of the Clearwater play. which we will earn if we drill, you know, the nine wells that are part of that agreement. But yeah, so the Clearwater is it's a position that we're very lucky to have a very large position in, and it's one that we do want to grow because it, the economics are very good, and it's oil production which has the best margins.
And just to add some quantification around that farm in that we've just struck, Justin, you know, mm-hmm. it's important for our shareholders to understand that, you know, we have a really a sizable gas production base, and that adds stability to our cash flow in our portfolio. But certainly the highest torque in the portfolio comes from oil and you know, heavy liquids-based assets. The farming that we've conducted it gives us the opportunity to drill up to nine wells. And as we quoted in the RNS, you know, those could produce at, let's say, 150 barrels of oil per day. Up here in the area, said, you know, yesterday in a press release that they're, you know, they're seeing production levels that are 20% higher than that at the moment. But, you know, at the 150, what that means for our portfolio, today we've got just under 1,500 barrels of oil per day out of the, you know, circa 8,800 that we're producing. These nine wells, which we'll sort of own on a 50% basis as a partner, could add another 46% of the almost 50% to our oil production base. Our oil production, our 1,466 barrels of oil per day, contributes about 40% of I3's total current cash flow. So, you know, this farming opportunity, therefore, could add, you know, another 20 to 25%. To our cash flow levels from where we're at today. So it's a really meaningful farm-in for us, and at the benefit of the fact that these wells pay back in less than a couple of years. The latter wells will have sort of a one-year payback. So where our peers are still, you know, they're buying assets in the market, you know, at posted multiples of 3.4, 3.7 times, we're buying these assets still for 1 to 2 times cash flow. So it was a great strategic add for us.
Yeah. And in fact, talking about cash flow, it's quite appropriate to talk about dividends. So what are the steps now you have to take before you can pay that?
Yeah, look, we were hoping that we would have paid the dividend by now. And I know our shareholders are becoming impatient in that regard. You know, it's a court-led process in the UK for restructuring your balance sheet, and the court-led portion of that comes on the back end of all of the approvals. So you have to make sure that you get all of the components that you're feeding into that process right before you kick it off. So on this side of it, otherwise we could come to the back end with a failed restructuring. So, you know, the court-led process comes on the back of an extraordinary general meeting of our shareholders. We can't actually, you know, enter into the court-led process nor that extraordinary general meeting for our shareholders prior to getting the correct documentation in place, making sure that our balance sheet was in a state that would almost guarantee that will go through in the court-led process, but that we also have to get creditor approval. And we've got a number of creditors who we required approval from in order to go through that balance sheet restructuring. So, look, all of those components are lined up now. We expect to be sending out the notice of the extraordinary general meeting to our shareholders in a very short time period. And then on the back of that, we'll immediately apply to the courts for the restructuring. With all of those approvals in place, we should believe, you know, we would believe that it would go through smoothly and immediately thereafter, as quickly as we can practically affect it, we will pay the dividend. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, I bet shareholders are looking forward to that as well. And guys, final thing, as always, three reasons if someone's listening right now, not following the story, but liking the sound of the progress here, give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, number one, we have a solid production base now to support, you know, a very solid core base value in the stock. I think that's the first reason. Secondly, we're shortly going to be commencing dividend payments, which will be supported by that solid production base. And, you know, thirdly, there's a potential for significant growth in income in the form of dividends and also in share price growth. because we have, you know, multiple catalysts now across a broad portfolio in the UK with the Serenity asset, and, you know, multiple catalysts in Canada. So strong, you know, probability that we will see strong growth both in the share price and, you know, progressively grow the dividend.
Excellent stuff. Majid, Graham, thanks very much for coming on, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.